Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. Got my glasses off today. You can see that my eye looks like I got in a bar fight. But as most of you know, I had surgery on my eye on Friday. And I had to wear glasses. And as bad as it looks today, it was way, way, way worse on Friday and over the weekend. And on top of that, I got a cold over the weekend, but it's very quick. I'm at the tail end of it now, so feeling a lot better, just still congested. But let's get into some big news in the commodity space. Oil is collapsing, and so is gold. Let's get right over to the CNBC homepage and check this out. So we've got oil down to 97 a barrel, basically down $5 today, almost 4.84% on the day. And if you look at a daily chart, we'll go to the five-day chart. It's not like it's had a gradual decline. It just completely, well, collapsed. It went from 102 and just opened just way lower at $96. And same type of setup here for gold. And I noticed that gold actually is trading now under $1,900 an ounce. Yeah, down 30, but basically $40 today, down 2%. Silver down to 23.63, copper down to 4.4, pretty much everything, platinum, palladium, all down. I'd be curious to see what the grains are, the soft commodities. I haven't looked into that yet, but I mean, this begs the question, is the commodity super cycle over? So let's take a look at this idea of a commodity super cycle that I've been discussing in a lot of my videos lately. And pretty much it really hit me like a ton of bricks when I was listening to Jim Rogers' audiobook called Hot Commodities that he wrote in 2003. I think the first publication came out in 2004. And he mentioned the fact that he set up the Rogers Commodity Index in, I might be getting the name of that wrong, but it's basically the commodity index that Jim Rogers set up in 1998. And if we go back and look at the last commodity super cycle, it hit its low point around 96, 97, 98. And then, as most of you know, went pretty much straight up all the way to 2011 or so. And when I was listening to Jim's book, it's just everything he was saying in there sounded exactly like what we were hearing in 2020. And it really echoed a lot of what we've been hearing as far as this mainstream narrative for quite some time, most specifically around coal. Because if you have listened to Jim Rogers' book, or if you haven't, you I would strongly suggest it. But one of his favorite commodities back in 2003, or when he was writing this book, was lead. And if you guys are my age, you know what the demonization, and maybe rightfully so, of lead, and that we had to strip it away from paint. And I mean, it was just, it was, to say that it was demonized is definitely an understatement. And again, maybe that's justified, but it was really just public enemy number one. And very similar to the way coal is portrayed today, in my opinion. And I guess fortunately, I'm old enough to be an adult and live through how lead was portrayed in the 90s. I don't know when that started. That might have actually started in the 70s or 80s. But I remember very, very well, vividly, how the media was talking about that in the 1990s and how demand for lead was just collapsing. But to Jim Rogers' point, the price would still go up because supply, because of public opinion, was collapsing at an even greater rate because there was less capital going into the production of more lead, even though the demand for lead, yes, it may collapse, but it's not going to go to zero. Especially with his thesis back then was because the emerging markets are going to be driving more cars. And that was one of the main sources of demand for lead at the time, and maybe still today, is for car batteries. So, and sure enough, what happened to the price of lead? Look at a chart from 2003 to 2006 or seven. I mean, it goes parabolic, completely parabolic. So Jim just absolutely nailed it. And so then I started looking at charts of long-term super cycles. Let's actually get into one of them right now. And this goes back to 1805. Interesting chart here in the sense that I've noticed a lot of these long-term super cycle charts, they don't give you just kind of an aggregate total of price increase. They give you this delta, percentage delta from historic trend. And so the way they say this here, it's shown as a 10-year rolling compound growth rate with polynomial trend at tops and bottoms. I think that's just a fancy way of saying that they sketch out a trend of what it's usually doing as far as the price. And if it's at 3%, it means that it's growing at 3%. It's growing at a 3% faster clip than the historic trend. Or if it's minus 6, then it's decreasing at 6% less than the historic trend. So anyway, going back to my original thought here, is I started seeing a lot of charts like this after listening to Jim Rogers' book. And I'm like, well, wait a minute here. We don't have to be, but my base case is that we are in another long-term commodity super cycle. And so we can see these super cycles last on the way up, usually 10, 15 years. We see this one bottomed out in 1825 and then went up until, call it 1836 or so. So, you know, 10, 15 years. And you've got this one, 18, we'll call it 45, just to make the math easy, and then 1864. So I guess maybe between 10 and 20 years. And that's pretty consistent with what you see with these big up moves. And boy, look at this up move from 1930 to 1950-ish, call it 53. Man, that is one heck of a move up. And then look at this in the 1970s from, call it 71 to 1980. So again, about 10 years, it just skyrockets. Hey guys, I want to remind you to get your tickets to Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the live conference I do twice per year with all of your favorite speakers from the Rebel Capitalist show and experts in investing, commodities, real estate, freedom, and liberty. All of your favorite topics, all of your favorite speakers. The next Rebel Capitalist Live is going to be in Miami, and tickets increase in price as we get closer to the event. So go to rebelcapitalistlive.com right now to get your tickets to the next Rebel Capitalist Live. It's the conference you cannot afford to miss. It'll help you increase your financial freedom and, more importantly, your personal freedom. You'll get intel that you won't hear anywhere else. Past speakers have included icons in macroeconomics, investing, and personal freedom and liberty. People like Dr. Ron Paul, Robert Kiyosaki, Brent Johnson, Lynn Alden, Jeff Snyder, Richard Werner, Mark Moss, Lynette Zhang, and Robert Breedlove, just to name a few. So once again, go to Rebel Capitalist Live right now and get your tickets today. And then going back to Jim Rogers' book, same thing here. We bottomed out around 19, well, it's a little earlier on this chart, maybe 1994, 95, but other charts around 96, 97. And then Jim Rogers set up his index in 98. He wrote his book right around, I don't know on the chart, maybe around here. And then it just goes parabolic from there up to 2011-ish. And then you guys know what happened in March of 2020 and in April 2020, oil went to -$38 a barrel. So you've got to assume that that is a price low. It's going to -$38. Safe bet right there, right? So then the question becomes, okay, are we in another super cycle? I can't imagine that we're not, with everything we're seeing with inflation and with Russia, Ukraine, and it's the same exact setup as it was back when Jim Rogers was discussing this in his book, where yes, the argument is that demand is going down, but what that doesn't take into consideration is the supply is most likely going down even faster because now commodities, especially carbon-based energy, is public enemy number one, just like lead was back in the early 2000s. And therefore, there's no investment going into that to create more supply in the future, especially when you're dealing with supply issues that don't resolve themselves overnight. You can't just dig a mine for nickel or copper or something like that. It takes a long time for these things to come online. So it takes 8-10 years. So even if demand does go up, you're still SOL when it comes to the supply that you need. So going back to the original question here, I don't think that the super cycle is over, but what we need to understand, and this is just my opinion, is that none of these super cycles go up in a straight line. I mean, look at the Great Depression that started here in 1930 and went up to, we'll call it 1955 for easy math. I mean, we almost had 100% retracement just from 1930 to 1935, roughly. Look at the retracement that we had in, we'll call it the late 1930s, when we had kind of a second wave of the deflation or the Great Depression. Even in the 1940s, we had after World War II, 1945, call it, we had a huge drawdown in percentage terms before you go back up to an all-time high. The only exception is really the 1970s. And still within this period, think about the volatility you would have had, call it 1975, 1976, where you see all these squiggly lines. And we can look back in retrospect and say, oh yeah, it was obvious that commodity prices were going up in the 70s. Well, not really. Think about if you were living through the 1970s and it was 1975. There would have been solid debates why commodity prices are going to start going down and they'll never recover. There's always good arguments on both sides. I think that we look at these things through the rearview mirror or as the backseat driver, you know, 40, 50 years later, and we say, oh, it was so obvious that commodity. No, not at all. Not at all. And it's the same thing now. You'd hear a good argument for commodity prices going down for the next 5 years, and I think good arguments for them going up. But my point here is there's always this volatility. They never go up in a straight line. So if you believe that, look at this drawdown, for heaven's sakes, from, we'll call it just 2002 to 2003, or maybe this was during the dot-com bust or something. But my goodness, it came, I mean, you want to call it crashing down. I mean, that is some significant volatility right there. But it was within the realm. It was still within this overall cycle and trend higher. So what this would have been is obviously a massive buying opportunity. And personally, what I'm doing with my own portfolio, as most of you know, is I've got quite a bit more cash than I normally would. Now, that's not to say that I'm 100% in cash or anything like that. No. But as a percentage of my overall net worth, I've got a higher percentage in cash right now than I usually would. And this is why, because I do believe that over the next 10, if we, you know, fast forward to 2030 or 2035, I think commodity prices will be way higher, way, 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 way higher. So now I don't know what they do in the interim. I'm sure they go up, they go down, they go sideways, they go all around. I'm not smart enough to figure that out. But then on the flip side of that coin, I know that they are historically expensive right now when you adjust for inflation. So my kind of motto when it comes to, or my strategy, if you will, when it comes to buying things, is I like to buy things when they're cheap and sell them when they're expensive, as most of you know. But I also like to buy things when there's panic and then sell when there's hysteria. And so I don't think that we're at the panic mode right now by any stretch of the imagination with oil and with gold. But I think we could be, especially, let me go back to oil here, which is down over $5 now, by the way. But especially if we get a resolve to Russia-Ukraine, which hopefully we will, not just for the sake of the super cycle, but obviously far more important for the humanitarian side of things. But if we get a resolve to Russia-Ukraine, then I think oil, gold goes down even further, or if we have a big recession in the United States, because I think a lot of this price drop, and I haven't really studied into why the market or the talking heads are saying this is happening, but I would imagine it has something to do. Oh, here you go. I was just going to say it with China, and right there, the headline, oil slides as Shanghai lockdowns stoke demand fears. So you could have China going into this massive lockdown, and then you could have the Russian-Ukraine ordeal coming to an end, and then the bears would say, oh, this is it for commodities. They just had this big spike just due to these temporary factors, and now the global economy is going to slow down. Look at the yield curve. Look at the not only the bond market, but look at what the euro dollar futures curve is telling us. Look at what all these other indicators are saying, that the future is going to be recessionary. We're going to have a global recession, and therefore commodity prices down. Now, that may be true, but I think that at some point it's a buying opportunity. Not now. It isn't in my, and again, this is just my opinion, guys. I'm the amateur, and I always say that. If you guys want to hear what the pros think, you got to go to Rebel Capitalist Pro and check that out. That's my online investment forum that I have, where people can listen to others who are far smarter than I am, like Lynn Alden and Chris McIntosh and Brent Johnson. And you can do live streams with them. So I'll just pitch that really quick, that if you want to get the pros ideas as to what's happening here, definitely check out Rebel Capitalist Pro at georgegammon.com/pro. But getting back to just my humble opinion here, I like to look at this price drop through the lens of that long-term super cycle, but then say, okay, do we have panic yet? No, we don't. And then wait for that panic. And maybe that is when we have a recession in the United States, the stock market collapses. You know what happens with gold. All these big pension funds and financial institutions, they sell whatever they can to get that liquidity. And usually that's gold. So that would be my buying opportunity if a stock market crashes or something to where these commodities, oil goes back down to, let's say, who knows, 60, 50 a barrel. Gold crashes because of these big funds needing liquidity. That's the type of panic that I'm talking about. And what I guess my point here is, what would give me the confidence to go in and buy if I saw that panic is the backdrop of knowing commodity prices are most likely going to be far higher in the next 10 years. So as long as you've got that backdrop, the commodity super cycle in mind, I think it gives you the confidence to ignore the panic that is in the market. If we get to that point here, who knows, in the next 6 months, the next year, what have you. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. See you in the next video.